Happy Monday, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. So I had a scramble just now. The Kings ended a little bit early here, and so here we are, live at the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain in an undisclosed location, as always. If you'd like to be on the program tonight, 800-222-5222, sam@samnation.com is the email. Speaking of sports, I had an opportunity this weekend. I was over in South Bend, Indiana. And I was invited to go to the big SC Notre Dame game on Saturday night. And I don't know if you follow football, but this was an absolutely atrocious football game for SC. I mean, no, Notre Dame did great. The SC got schlonged. I think in the first half, I'm not even sure SC scored. It looked at one point, I thought it was headed to 40-0. But it was, 49-14. Notre Dame just killed SC out there. It was tragic. So anyway, don't get to see a lot of football. I'm sitting up there. I was so impressed. I'd never been before to Notre Dame's campus. If you've ever had a chance to be there, if you're familiar with the school, it's stunning. And one of the things I think that just surprised me so much is you've got this incredible campus, you've got this incredible university that is virtually in the middle of nowhere. I'm not putting you down. Look, I know if there's it's just farmland, and I'm not saying just farmland, but this is it. There's nothing out there. And in the middle of nowhere, this incredible university with they've got a terrific law school, too, by the way. Fantastic. But with, you know, a fantastic university all the way around and about 170 years, 175 years old. This is a real honor to be there. And I also will tell you this. I don't go to too many tailgates. No, I don't. But the tailgate scene was spectacular. But that's not what I was going to say. Everyone there is so damn nice. They're so nice. This is what I love about the Midwest. Nicer than Orange County and then some. Yes, absolutely. I'm walking around. Now, I'm not a huge SC fan. I'm there with some SC people. So I had an SC shirt on so people would know what gang I belong to. So I'm walking through the crowd. Everybody's like smiling and waving at me. This is a big rivalry game. I think that if you were walking into the game at the Coliseum, and you're walking in and to an S, you know, on SC turf wearing a Notre Dame shirt, you're probably going to get comments. I think honestly, out of the 70,000-80,000 people that were at the game, I had one comment, one kind of nasty comment. I'm so impressed. I love it. It was a fun experience. Went up in the morning on Saturday, came back in the morning on Sunday, and then had to catch up on some sleep. At any rate, lots of things going on. One thing I want to comment on at some point here during the program, and we're on for this hour, and we're on again at 8 o'clock, so plenty of time to get through everything. Everybody's been texting me right now about this check Donald Trump. Because that's what the news is reporting, that there is an emerging politician in the Czech Republic who is likely to become the next prime minister. And he's being likened to Donald Trump. And I have some feelings about this, of course, being Czech. I have some insight. And I'll give that to the press has it wrong. And I'll explain here as the program unfolds. I've got to get to this first here. I'm not surprised. Jesse Jackson, he was on Fox Sports. He was on a program. Let's see, what program was this? It's called Undisputed. Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp. And they're asking him about the NFL kneeling controversy, the NFL protests of the national anthem, talking about Colin Kaepernick. Very clear as the interview began unfolding that Jesse Jackson is a big fan of Colin Kaepernick, likened him to Kurt Flood. I mean, this is how far of a reach we're making. So Colin Kaepernick is the new Kurt Flood, American baseball player famous for championing rights, wage rights, bargaining rights for players. Hey, look, where it got even squirrelier, and all of this I expected all of that. But where the interview got absolutely squirrely is right at the end. Jackson is talking about what it's like working in the NFL. What is it like being a player at the NFL? And he says this. Listen carefully.
To go from picking cotton balls to picking footballs and basketballs without freedom is not very much progress. It's just a lateral move. And what strikes me is that in football, the reason why some of the guys are standing, when the president says, fire them, and he comes that strong, and the president comes that strong. These guys have no guaranteed contracts. Unlike basketball or baseball, there are no guaranteed contracts. So you stand today, but you don't play tomorrow.
Stunning. Jesse Jackson says that they go, speaking of NFL players, they go from picking cotton balls to picking footballs and basketballs. Speaking about the NBA, without freedom is not very much progress. It's just a lateral move. We need to back away and get a full 30,000 foot view of this controversy to fully understand it. And this controversy actually, I think, fits in a little bit with the Harvey Weinstein fallout. I'll explain that in a minute. The essence of this is, how is it being perceived by a truck driver who makes $50,000 a year, works 40 hours or more a week, lives paycheck to paycheck, and is literally two paychecks away from being bankrupt? How is this perceived by that guy? Because that guy, I was just in Indiana. I got to tell you, I was driving between, I couldn't stay in town. It was just, the trip was last minute. So I've got a hotel way out of town, a place called Michigan City. And I'm driving through rural middle America. And I'm passing these places. And I was thinking about this NFL controversy. Football was on my mind. I was wondering if there'd be any protests at the game. Lo and behold, I'm looking at very regular Americans, plain, simple people, and I'm thinking, how do they perceive this protest? And the answer to me, it's just so clear. You think that there's any pity for millionaire players who are disrespecting the flag, who are crying about it, and then to turn it into some, it's a lateral move. It's a lateral move from slavery to being in the NBA. This is absurd. And the most stunning thing is nobody challenged him on this. There, he is on Fox Sports and nobody challenges him on this. They're just nodding. Skip Bayless nodding his head and going, yeah, okay, gotcha. I understand it's Jesse Jackson, and maybe they didn't even understand what he was saying because he was kind of mumbling. But this is pretty clear. I mean, you heard it. And I'm listening to this. I'm thinking this whole controversy is just a losing issue for the NFL. Their ratings are continuing to sink. But the reason for it goes beyond just Trump. It goes beyond just the issue of patriotism. And it's getting to the point of a total lack of sympathy. Middle America has no sympathy for millionaires who are complaining about being told to do something by their bosses. Because that's what this is about, right? No freedom to protest. What job do you have? What job do we have, any of us, where we have the absolute freedom to do whatever we want? Nobody's free at work from having their boss tell them what to do. We've anybody who's had a real job, you show up and you got a paycheck and you're working for a living. You're sooner or later, some employer's going to come around, some boss, some manager, And he or she is going to tell you what to do. And we've all been there. And you know what we have to do? We click our heels and say, yes, sir. You know why? Because we want to keep our job. That's the idea. That's the kind of work I like, is the work I get to keep. I'm mystified by this. I'm truly mystified. And turning this into a racial issue. I know that's how it started, you know, racial inequality, but it literally has nothing to do with that. It's respect for the flag, respect for the country. And at the end of the day, you work for a living, and working for a living is not slavery. So how does this tie? How does this tie into Weinstein? So you know, there's been some developments. Weinstein is out of sex rehab. I don't know if you heard this. He went in for 1 week and has declared himself cured, which is a fascinating turn of events. And every day that goes by, more and more people are coming, actresses are coming out of the woodwork. Different people involved with the movies, different people who are involved with Harvey Weinstein, coming out of the woodwork and accusing him of new untold stories, and all fall within the same pattern. Just roughly that he invites him up to his room and you know, forces himself on him. So what of that? Well, I'm looking at this, and there's some other people have been implicated too. Now, other Hollywood people and other celebrities. I'm asking people about this in my inner circle, my friends, and I'll tell you something fascinating. A wide majority of people that I have talked to, women, especially women, which is fascinating to me. You know what their general reaction to this scandal is? It's like, look, there's a dividing line between real assault, real battery, touching, harmful and offensive touching without consent, and harassment. You know, comments, an unwanted advance. Perhaps a wink, perhaps a nice word, perhaps, hey, will you take me to, I want to go to dinner with you. No, really, please, I want to go to dinner with you. No. And I have women, the way they're looking at this, and I just got to tell you, this is an interesting thing. The way they're looking at this is they're saying, I don't know. I have no sympathies for an actress who's making $20 million a year, who knew exactly what the score was. They knew exactly how things were. They understood that, you know, they understood that this is a place that they're going to get hit on. And I guess the issue that it all comes back down to, it's the same with the NFL controversy. You have a difference. There's a difference because there's these, you've got people who are in the elite of the country. You have actors that are in the elite. You have actors, you have NFL players who are making millions of dollars. And they're asking us regular people, they're asking you and I, who are mere mortals, who go and we work for a paycheck and we collect a check every week. They're asking us to have these tremendous sympathies for them, for their suffering. And it's tough. It's a difficult leap for us to make. It really is. What if? Oh, you're asking what if Trump made those comments? If Trump made the Jesse Jackson comments, if he made any comments about picking cotton, it would be a disaster. Of course, there's a double standard. Jesse Jackson can make these comments. He can liken things to slavery. Trump can't. I don't think any white person can. But it doesn't matter who makes the comment. The comment itself is insane. It's total insanity. It disrespects the enormous progress that we've made as a country. It disrespects the millions of Americans who died during the Civil War, fighting for a righteous cause. It disrespects the tremendous efforts put in during the Civil Rights Movement the advancement. And what it comes down to is there are certain people, there are certain people who trade in the misery of others, and they need others to be miserable in order to make a living. And Jesse Jackson's one of them. And some of these low-life people that are coming forward, that are making, you know, lawyers and media people that are making cases about every little, you know, wink and a hug and a this and a that, Harvey Weinstein nonsense in Hollywood, they're making some, in many cases, something out of nothing and taking legitimate acts of racism and legitimate acts of sexual harassment. And mixing it with just this faux art outrage. It just makes me so upset. All right. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, will be back right after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Reviewing the stunning comments of one Jesse Jackson going from picking cotton balls to picking footballs and basketballs without much freedom is not much progress. Crazier words have not been spoken. Let me tell you, here's the phone number just in case you want to chime in on this. 800-222-5222. sam@samnation.com is the email. Let's do that. We've got Steve. Steve in L.A. Hi, how are you?
Hey. Oh, great, great, great.
So welcome to the program. Talk to me. What do you think of this?
Well, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about millionaire players, but I never hear anybody talking about how much work it takes to become a football or basketball player. You know, there's a lot of physical dedication. There's a lot of mental dedication when it comes to working and through pain and perseverance. And, you know, millionaire players.
Yeah, I agree with you.
To get there.
I agree with you.
But I don't see anybody mentioning that. And then
let me respond to this. I totally agree with you. And by the way, I'm such a big advocate for a world for meritocracy in the world, right? For achievement based on personal merit and personal achievement, that I totally agree with you. And I think that I'll even take it a step further with football players. I think you kind of sign up to destroy your body. I mean, that to me, that's my understanding of football. And now that we've learning about these head injuries and everything, you really do sign up for that. So I agree with you. Now, let me ask you something. What kind of work do you do, Steve? Do you feel comfortable telling me what do you do?
I work for. I'm not in professional sports.
Okay. Well, neither am I, obviously.
I work for a government organization.
Okay. Are you? But is it office work? Office work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Office work.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So I'm gonna tell you a little story. I used to in a past life. I do personal injury now. But I used to do workers' compensation, and I represented. Plaintiffs, but you know, workers, you know, just regular blue collar working people who were injured. And I'll tell you some of these stories. I don't think this is kind of where I'm going. The millionaire players are not the only ones that are dedicating a tremendous amount of time, effort, and energy, and also getting to their jobs and also getting really hurt. It's not unique. What is the common thing between football players? Truck drivers, you know, a hamburger seller. There's one thing that's common. They're if they work for somebody, that business has to make money, right? That business has to sell the product, whatever that product is. And the employer that they have has a right to limit that person's, that employee's speech to the extent that it harms business. And I'll give you the best example I can here. If I work at In-N-Out and I'm working there behind the counter or, you know, cash register, and I go and I sell you a burger, anybody, I stand there and I say at the end of every transaction, I look you in the eyes and I say, Hillary Clinton to prison or something like that. I make a political statement. In-N-Out can fire me, even though I even though I understand I've got First Amendment rights, I can say that outside when I'm not on the in and out clock. But when I'm making a political statement at work, I don't have the same rights because obviously I would be going. It's bad for in and out, right? I mean, what if like a Hillary Clinton lover walks in and I say that? Their impression is that I'm supporting Hillary and that it reflects poorly on the business. May not go to back to in and out. So employers are able to regulate the speech. So I'm up against a hard break here. So I've got to run. But this is the difference, Steve. I really appreciate the phone call. This is the difference between speech outside of the stadium, what Colin Kaepernick says on his own time versus what he did when he played football. And it created a problem, a financial burden on the team. And that's why nobody wants to hire him. Nobody wants to hire him because he's a liability. I'll explain a little bit more of this when we come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, here for my good friend, Attorney Sweet James Bergner, the one and only personal injury attorney to trust in the event of need. If you've been in an accident, truck accident, car accident, motorcycle accident, moped accident, dog bite, slip and fall, any type of injury, call Sweet James. Don't talk to the other side. Don't talk to the insurance company. Don't even talk to your own insurance company. One of the worst things you can do. They don't want to pay you either. So make sure you get somebody who's on your side. And that guy, Sweet James. His phone number, it's super easy, 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. And look, no recovery, no fee. It doesn't cost you anything to talk to James. He's a real person. He's a real human being. His beard is real. It's legitimate. And he really has, even bigger than his beard, is his heart. He's got a big heart. So give him a call. No recovery, no fee, right? It doesn't cost you anything until he settles your case and gets you the money that you deserve. 1-800-881-2021 or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation, we are back live from the Sweet James Studios, as a matter of fact. In an undisclosed location deep behind the orange curtain. You know, it was an interesting issue that Steve in L.A. raised. He didn't get to everything, and I kind of had to run there at the end. But the point of it is, these players did a lot of hard work to become millionaires. They're in the limelight, and they've earned the right to speak up. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So let me address this. This is like actors, and this is why I think that the NFL protests, and there's a link here, all these people are in the public light. NFL sports players, athletes, all athletes, okay, people in the movies, singers. I'm always amazed when an actor, for example, gets up and makes a spectacle of themselves around some political cause. And the reason I'm amazed by it, and again, De Niro, right now, Robert De Niro, if you look at him and you listen to some of the stuff he's saying about Trump, it's unhinged. The guy hates Trump. He had a park bench dedicated to himself in New York City, some fundraiser, some, I don't know what it was. And he says, the best part about having a park bench here in New York City is I can decide who doesn't sit on it. And I'll tell you who's not going to sit on it. It's Donald Trump. This was last week. De Niro. Now, I think it's a bad idea for an actor to do that. I don't care how sincere his beliefs are. It's bad because doesn't an actor want everybody to watch his movies? Right? Doesn't he? I would think. But these actors, they get really rich, and that's part of what insulates them. They're like, yeah, I don't care. I'm going to speak my mind. I've earned the right to speak my mind. Fine. But when that actor, and it's more applies to players, when that player is inside of the stadium, they're on the clock. They are working. They're on the clock. Actors record movies. Those movies get cut up and played. It's a little bit different. Players perform live. They're live. They're in front of an audience. And guess what? They are there for the purpose to make the team's money, to make the network's money. Everybody has to make money. In order for these players to become millionaires and to be paid the millions that they're paid, the whole system has to work financially. The numbers have to add up. And it's no different. It actually is no different for an athlete than it is for somebody working, you know, working as a waitress or working as, I don't know, even as an attorney. I'm thinking at my office, right? If I ended every phone call saying Trump 2020, I'd lose business. People wouldn't want to hear that. Why lose half the population right from the get-go when you're trying to make a buck? It doesn't make sense. And that's why NFL teams not only have the right, but in my opinion, should put an end to these protests. It's not good for business. Look at the numbers. I mean, they're tanking. I mean, the revenues will follow, right? Because as soon as the ratings drop, then the price of the advertising goes down. And then that's a net effect. And these players who have these, you know, posh contracts, they probably feel pretty good. They've got a contract and, you know, that says they're going to be paid X amount of bucks over however many years. Meanwhile, the networks and the teams are financially suffering. It's not a good thing. And the teams are within their rights, totally within their rights to do this. All right, don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Did you see this? The city of Honolulu in Hawaii wants to fine pedestrians up to $35 for viewing. The way it's in the headlines is it's texting, but it's really just for viewing their electronic devices while crossing streets in the city and surrounding county. Honolulu would be the first major city to enact such a ban. So how many times are you guilty of this? Do you do this? You cross the street ever? I mean, you're supposed to be watching for cars. We have a false sense of security. I tell you, I promise you, there's a false sense of security when you're on a crosswalk. You think that suddenly this wall goes up around you and there's no way a car is not going to not see you. Did I say that right? Well, you get the point. People get hit in crosswalks all the time. And then, by the way, whose fault is it, right? If somebody's in the crosswalk and they're not paying attention, no, it's the driver's fault. But the thing is who cares whose fault it is if you're flying through the air, you know, 35 miles an hour? That's not good. So what do I think of this law? I don't like these types of laws at all. I think that, you know, I favor Darwinism. I mean, look, if you go into the, if you're in a crosswalk anywhere near a street, even frankly, walking on the sidewalk, and you're not looking up, you're not looking where you're going, and you're on your phone or whatever, reading a book, you wouldn't be reading a book. I mean, who reads a book walking down the street? But we're all on our phones. We're so obsessed with our phones. Got to see what the latest Instagram update is. So I don't like these types of laws because I think that, you know, if you're being stupid and on your phone and you go flying through the air, it's your own dang fault, right? It is. Yeah, I don't. Well, the problem is that we have now, this is the problem. Now we all collectively, all of us taxpayers, are responsible for that person's health care when they get hit, right? They go to the hospital, they go to the ER, they run up a huge bill, you know, life-saving measures if it's a bad accident, and we're all responsible. So that's the argument, right? This is the genesis of liberalism. First, make society pay for everything, and then it becomes, society develops this vested interest in keeping everybody safe. And enter masses and masses of new legislation, new rules, new protections, all because we now are stakeholders, right? Society is a stakeholder in everybody's, you know, personal outcome. It's a slippery slope. All right, next up. Ooh, yes. Now, this all ties in here. Megyn Kelly just went after blasted Bill O'Reilly. And I, you know, I'll tell you what's behind this when we come back. Also, yes, there is Europe. Is Europe turning into America? Are our European brothers becoming like us and electing a bunch of little Trumps over there? I'll tell you what I think of this. So, all right, don't go anywhere. We'll be back after the news. John Wolfe is up next. I will talk to you soon.
Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Monday, and here we go. 1-800-222-5222 if you'd like to be on the program. sam@samnation.com is the email. Now, you you know, if you've been a listener, you know that I'm Czech, and it's a country where my parents are both born, and that I visit it frequently. So I know a little bit about what all of this hubbub is in the news. The Czech Republic had an election, and their elections are different than ours. You know, they have a parliamentary system, which means you vote for a party, essentially, right? You vote for a party. So, and there are a lot of parties. You know, we have really two big parties here. They've got a whole bunch of them, including a pirate party. Did you know this? They have a, yeah. Well, they got a significant number of votes. I got to see what it was, but I think 10% or something like that. They're for internet freedom and things like that, not actual piracy. I know you got your hopes up. Well, at any rate, the media today and over the weekend were reporting that the Czech Donald Trump is poised to become the next prime minister. And the reason it's poised is because once you have an election for a parliament, you decide how many seats, how many people from that party go to parliament, what percentage of parliament is made up of each party. Now, if one party has 50% have 50% more of the seats, well, then that party picks the prime minister and they don't need a coalition or anything like that. But generally speaking, when you have, I don't know, geez, Italy has like 25 parties. A lot of these countries in Europe have a ton of different parties. And so what happens is, you know, the parties that have the most number of votes, the highest number of votes, have to form a coalition. They have to get together and agree to govern, you know, as one. And the party that has the most number of votes, which in this case is this guy named Andrej Babiš, his party has the highest number of votes. And he's being called the Czech Donald Trump because he's likely to form a coalition with a couple other parties, get the 50% and become prime minister. And that process takes some time. And he's being called the Czech Donald Trump because he's a billionaire. Sound familiar? Businessman, wants to drain the swamp, is anti-corruption, anti-establishment, anti-EU, anti-illegal immigration, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, facially, superficially, if you will, he is the Czech Donald Trump, almost. Now, I bristle at this, having followed Babiš for some time and understand kind of who he is. I'll tell you how he's not the Czech Donald Trump. I don't have a lot. I mean, I admire business creation and wealth creation tremendously. I'm suspicious of a lot of these big business guys, and Babiš in particular, in the Czech Republic. And this is a problem throughout Eastern Europe. Wherever you had people make a tremendous amount of money off of privatization, which was the process where government property was converted into private property, right? Because before, when the country was communist, this is so hard for Americans to even imagine. When the country was communist, everything, every business belonged to the state. Imagine that. Everything belonged to the state. So, by the way, if you want to know how that works, if you're one of those Bernie Sanders people and you think that that's like a great idea, it didn't work. You know, nobody had anything. Nothing worked right. Everything that was produced was crap. And that's it. So just a little side note. But at any rate, so they it's in order to go from a state market, a government-run economy, to a free market, they had to take companies that were in the hands of the government and move them into the hands of private individuals. Now, how do you think that worked? What do you think that process entailed? Well, I'll tell you. That process entailed an enormous amount of corruption. Tremendous. And by the way, who do you think the people were that were at the who were able to suddenly, you know, become multimillionaires overnight and grab these very valuable companies that had valuable property to grab them for pennies on the dollar? They're people that had connections to the communist regime, to this horrible totalitarian regime that has blood on its hands. So this Babish guy, everybody knows he was with this, you know, he's a communist. He was in the party, which is not good. OK, in my view. And he also had some ties with the secret police. And that's fairly well documented. So his past is sketchy. He's not like Donald Trump. Donald Trump got a loan from his dad and built a business out of it. Like him or hate him. You know, he's a self-made guy. Babish isn't. He's a guy who was in the right place at the right time, and was able through government contacts to amass an enormous fortune. So when I look at his platform of, you know, of a very populist platform, I'm a little suspicious of it because the checks, and this is the interesting thing. You know, we here in America, we look at Europe and we think, oh, Europe, it's got to be so progressive. And the Europeans, they're all into nudity and into, you know, into food and wine. And they just have a different way of life. And we're so prudish over here in America. And they're so liberal. It's not like that. Generally speaking, right now, Eastern Europe especially is very wary of immigration, is very wary of the refugees coming into their countries, very wary of losing their culture, their identity, their language. You know, they're far more hawkish about this. When you look at the polls and you look at what people's opinions are, and even from my experience going over there and talking to people, this is a real crisis. I mean, when you've got a country like Germany that, has 40 million, 30 million people, and all 40 million, maybe 40 million people. And they import 1 million to 2 million refugees in a short amount of time. It's a tremendous amount of people coming in, and citizens aren't liking it. So I think the answer is here that you don't necessarily have a lot of these politicians that are coming in, like Babish, that are getting elected. I think these are politicians that are seizing on what the public wants. The public, definitely, when you look at what people in Europe want, they may not think Trump is the greatest guy and they may have their reservations about it, but they actually like a lot of what Trump is saying because they don't want to see it. You have this in Hungary, right? And Hungary was the first country in Europe that built a wall. Actually built some fencing around its southern border to prevent migrants from illegally entering their country. They were building a wall before Trump even talked about it. So, you know, there is an interesting wind shifting, and it's the result of elites. It's the result of governments. It's the result of these establishment politicians thinking they know what's best for people. And they don't. They absolutely do not. You know, Angela Merkel, the prime minister of chancellor of Germany, she's pushed this the whole entire time, has pushed aggressively for migration. And it's not when you go to Germany, it's not popular. Even in a liberal Western democracy, even now, she is suffering at the polls. So it's oh, you what are you asking about Trump? How people what the perception of Trump is? Well, it depends. It depends. I don't know. In the Czech Republic, generally speaking, you know, their president, they also have a president who's more of a figurehead. And he was the first European leader, I think in all of Europe, who came out in support of Trump during the election. That's how. So I would take that for what you will. He was openly complimentary of Trump and has, I think, scored a White House invite as a result of it. Generally speaking, people, you know, the media is really hostile to Trump. But that's also an interesting thing, because most of the country's newspapers, the most powerful newspapers in the country, all belong to this guy that is going to become the prime minister. One of the things that he did in growing out his empire is he bought up all the newspapers. And so you don't get a lot of, there's not a lot of hostile press to you when you own the newspapers. Can you imagine if Trump owned CNN? Or if Trump owned the Washington Post, let's say, or the New York Times? I mean, that would be a parallel there. I mean, yeah, no, of course, it would be crazy. But I think at the end of the day, what's happening in Europe is the result of terrible policies for years and years and years. Because what happened is in Western Europe, they created an enormous welfare state. I mean, this is the type of welfare state we can't even imagine. I was just talking to a cousin in Switzerland. I have some cousins that live there, and it's getting to the point where it is just easier to be. You make 20-30% more money on welfare than you do in an entry level job. And that's insanity. So of course you get these migrants coming up from Syria, and when we're talking about hundreds of thousands of migrants, hundreds of thousands of people, many of whom end up, you know, sucking off the government, right? And they're getting these enormous benefits. It's terrible. It's tragic. And so these countries in Europe are having to rethink what they're giving. And I cannot believe with it actually falling apart in Europe, the what mystifies me is that there's still people here in our government and talking on TV and Democrats out there saying that we need free health care, free everything, more welfare, higher minimum wage. And by the way, yeah, let's go ahead and import a few million people every year. It literally boggles the mind. So I think it's fascinating. Because for years it was always that, you know, Europe was sort of behind the Europe was behind the eight ball. I mean, they were kind of leading behind us, and we were the trailblazer. But we are, in the sense we've got Trump, but there's still very, very popular thinking here that, you know, that we can accommodate an unlimited number of people and not have it affect our economy in any way, shape, or form. And one very real way it affects the economy, of course, is you've got the more of anything that you have, the less it costs. Supply and demand. So on one hand, wages are being driven down because we have uncontrolled illegal immigration. And on the other hand, we have a Democratic Party hell-bent on persuading Americans that what we need to do to raise the quality of life is to raise a minimum wage. Or to raise welfare benefits, or raise whatever incidental benefit that can be provided by the state. It's absolute insanity. It's been tried in Europe. I promise you, go to Europe. It's a cautionary tale. And even they right now, in real time, are rejecting it. Now, as far as what I think, you know, it depends on the country, and it depends on the political party and the political movement. I don't have a tremendous amount of hope for what Babiš is going to do in the Czech Republic. I think I think, you know, I think he's a bit of an opportunist. But I do think that his mandate is one of not at all anything like the previous liberal democracy that was, you know, that was in place. A government run by the Social Democrats or even by the right wing parties. And it's kind of like it is here. You have a right wing party and it's only nominally right wing. It's not, you know, they end up caving to everything that the Social Democrats want. They end up caving to the left. So we're culturally because so many people here are from Europe. I mean, I think that we look at Europe and Europe looks at us, and the suspicions that we have for each other are a little bit overstated. You know, there's a lot of ways we look up to Europeans in a lot of respects, right? And culture and food and wine and even healthy living, and they look back at us too for our industry and for this great American experiment, which some of them don't quite understand, but they look at us. And I think that here it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. But I do think that when you have even Europe moving away from their left wing ways, it should be a sign that it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It won't work. Cannot work. And we shouldn't be foolish enough to try it here. All right. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Megyn Kelly is going after Bill O'Reilly and Fox News again, this time on her own TV show. No, she was on CBS this morning. All right. So let me tell you what this is all about. Oh, Megyn Kelly's in trouble, guys. If you heard about her TV show on NBC, she is floundering, absolutely floundering. So she gets, she's promoting her show. She's talking about how what happened with Bill O'Reilly. She's back to talking about Bill O'Reilly, and there's news of a $32 million payout to a gal named Lisa Wheel. Now, she was a contributor on O'Reilly's program. Apparently, they settled. This is a sum of money that he paid. It seems to me, I'll be honest, like an almost unreal, extraordinary amount. I've talked to a lot of people who are in the industry who do these type of lawsuits. They are all shocked by it. And let me tell you why they're shocked by it. O'Reilly, $32 million paid to this gal, agreed to pay it, and then maybe a few days later signed a new contract with Fox. But the contract he signed with Fox was only only $100 million. So the way I'm reading it is he wanted a contract with Fox, so he settles with this accuser. Whether the allegations were true or not, we will never know. But he signs with this person, signs the agreement with Fox, $100 million, and turns over a third of it to someone. It's a couple of things. One, either it was true, either these accusations are true, or on the other hand, you've got a guy who he was in the middle of a divorce. That's a lot of things people aren't reporting. So he was in the middle of a divorce and he had custody issues with his kids. And if you've ever been in a divorce, you know how difficult it is, especially in California and New York, as a man to get custody of your kids. So he wanted no controversy. I mean, he wanted to put everything to bed, so to speak. I think that plays into it, but I just don't conceivably see how anyone who did nothing wrong paid somebody $32 million. That Megyn Kelly's talking about, Megyn Kelly never, no, I mean, that's why nobody ever gave Megyn Kelly any money here. I mean, this is ridiculous. She did not ever have a huge case with Fox. I don't think that, I think she's in this purely simply and only to make noise and to get attention for a show. That's it. I don't think there's anything more to it, but I do think this amount here is just, it's staggering. If it's true, it's staggering. Who would give up? I mean, it's like something, I don't know. It's like you want to get $100 and you give up $32. I mean, it's an enormous amount. It would, and that was over it was $100 million over several years. So I don't even know if he had the means to pay that kind of money up front. They said something about it being over time, but reading the tea leaves here, trying to translate all of this for you. There has to be something to these allegations. And Bill is on the warpath with Megan back. He's firing back. He's published some notes that Megan wrote him. And I'm reading them here. They're really nice notes. I mean, they're handwritten nice notes thanking him for, you know, for his help. And this is Megan Kelly, who said that somebody had given her a long hug one time, and that it was sexual harassment. I think Megan Kelly had a good career and a good deal over at Fox, and clearly her show at Fox was a lot better than what she's got going on at NBC. So I don't know. I think a lot of this is just attention seeking, and deliberately what you want to do when you've got sinking ratings, you've got to go after the controversies. And if there's something that you can speak about that you have some authority on, for example, her time at Fox News. She's doing it really, I think she's just bringing all this up to gin up her own personal ratings. But O'Reilly, very interesting stuff. I may talk about this. There's some few interesting things here. I may talk about a little bit here when we come back. Got to go. Break here. We got John Wolf up next with the news. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Bottom of the hour. 800-222-5222 if you'd like to be on the program. One thing I want to get to today, as well as this news about Podesta's brother. There is a man named Tony Podesta, who is the brother of Hillary Clinton's campaign chair, a big Democrat, and apparently his lobbying firm is now being investigated by the special counsel Bob Mueller. Now, you have conservatives rejoicing about this news. Ha-ha, yes, the probe has turned and it's going to get the Democrats, too, and they're wrapped up in this. And, of course, the Democrats are wrapped up in this. I mean, look, this all centers around foreign contributions, foreign lobbyists, registering as a foreign agent, foreign lobbying firm. A lot of people skirt the rules in Washington. They don't register right away. It's a technical violation. I think it can result in some jail time even, but it's common. So, it's true. There are going to be Democrats to get implicated in this. As I've mentioned before, the biggest Democrat that should be implicated in this is Hillary Clinton, who took $140 million, you know, to lobby for that uranium buy that ended up all in the lap of Vladimir Putin. Nobody talks about that, but they are starting to now. But here's why I don't want people to get too excited about this Bob Mueller news. Okay, what has all the reporting been about lately with Mueller and the special investigation into Trump Russia? What's all the reporting out there about? It's simple, right? The reporting is that Mueller has stacked his team with Democrats. They're all big Hillary Clinton people, big, you know, given money. And all this is a matter of public record. So they're Democrats and they're out to get Trump. And that's been, you know, that's the general a complaint that is out there from the media, or at least the media that's delving into this. So if you're Mueller, what do you want to do? How do you get around this? I think you let it, you know, you let it out or you let it leak that you're in looking into a major Democratic player. Because what does that make you look like? It makes you look impartial, right? It makes you look like you are investigating other people as well. Not just Trump and Trump's people and home base, so to speak. I think this is just for show. I really do. I'm absolutely convinced of it. And if you think that, don't think for a minute that Mueller isn't media savvy, is not aware of what the criticisms are. He's not in a bubble. And this all reminds me very much of Comey. Remember James Comey? Everybody said, "Oh, he's above the fray, and he's not interested in politics or in news or in anything." And then we realized he had a secret Twitter account, and he was commenting on things and following things. He was very keenly aware of what his actions were being perceived, of how his actions were being perceived out there by the media. He was playing to it. So I think Mueller's very aware of what the reaction is to him, and he's aware of the PR aspect of his work, and he wants the prosecution of Trump and Trump allies to be without criticism. And one way to avoid that criticism, of course, is to launch some investigations or let it leak that he's looking into prominent Democrats. Now, I think, though, substantively, regardless of what happens with Mueller, substantively, this is an interesting development, but not unforeseen. I mean, look, the Russians do what the Russians do. They're of course they want influence. Of course, if they can bribe politicians, they'll bribe them. Of course, if they can sway elections to help their interests, we'll do that. And by the way, best as I know, I think we do that in other countries too. So that stuff happens. But I just don't buy that it's all one side that's done it. I don't buy that it's Trump that's the one taking the millions when we have a documented pattern and practice of this type of thing happening over at the Clinton Crime Family Foundation. So anyway, but I do think that this is interesting stuff, and I do think it's led to an interesting theory on maybe how this whole thing came about. And I'm going to share that with you when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, and I will be back right after this.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky here, speaking out for my friend, my attorney, sweet James Bergner. If you've been in a car accident, a motorcycle accident, a bicycle accident, had a dog bite you, maybe even a cat or a possum or a raccoon. I don't know. It's not an exhaustive list. But if you've been hurt, you got to call the right person. You got to make sure you've got the right attorney in your corner and make that attorney sweet James Bergner himself. Look, James is a real guy. I know him. I know him well. And I can tell you he really cares about his clients. He does. He really actually, like, he actually believes in the fight. He's one of these people that takes it to heart and will champion your cause. And that's important. Because sometimes, you know, when you're dealing with one of these cases and you're up against this big, faceless, nameless insurance company, what do you feel like? You kind of feel pretty alone, don't you? So don't do that. Don't let that happen. Don't do this on your own. Call attorney Sweet James Bergner to help you. His phone number, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, back behind the Sam Nation microphone. And here's talking about this Mueller investigation and how the brother of John Podesta, Tony Podesta, who runs a lobbying firm out of Washington, D.C., big Democrat, reports that he may be in the crosshairs of the special investigator, Bob Mueller, who is looking into Russian interference with the election. But we all know it's really looking into Trump and his allies. You know, I was saying earlier how I think it's a diversionary tactic. I don't think this is real. I think that Mueller wants to put this out there so that he seems more impartial than he really is. Because if all he ever, everybody in Washington has taken money from foreign people, especially people that are linked to the Kremlin, be it through the Ukraine or these big companies, big state, you know, state run or partly state run conglomerates that do lobbying in Washington, D.C., there are a lot of dollars that go back, that trace back to Moscow. So everybody's handled this money. All these big lobbyists have. And Democrats are no exception. But I don't think that's the real thing. I think it's just to make it look more impartial. But I think it's interesting, too, now that we're getting more reports of the uranium deal, the Clinton uranium deal, and there's talk today that the House is going to look into this and investigate it. Congress will take this up. I wonder, think about this for a minute. If you're Hillary, even Obama, who, you know, let this happen under his, I mean, what point do you start getting a little bit nervous? I mean, I think genuinely the Clintons knew exactly what they were doing. They're dirty birds, okay? They knew exactly what they were doing. They took a lot of money, not just from Russia, but a whole lot of other state actors. And all those people expected something in return for that money. It wasn't just goodwill. So when the election went not the way they had hoped, and when Hillary lost, the first focus was to maybe contest the election. And that very quickly, they go, well, we can't really do that. We're not going to do that. So then they wanted to obstruct the inauguration, remember, kind of, you know, see if there's ways that they could derail Trump there. And then finally, they went to this Trump-Russia collusion theory, right? Let's see how we can get rid of Trump, because whatever happens, the Clintons do not want this thing investigated. Trust me. And with the House picking it up right now, I mean, this is why I think Mueller has to look like a good guy, because he is literally the last chance that the Clintons have to getting away with some of the worst graft this country has ever seen, maybe in its history. And I wonder, something else came out today in the reports that Putin's shifted from supporting Hillary to opposing her pretty dramatically. You know, I wonder if when the Clintons got all that money through Moscow for that Uranium One deal, I wonder if Putin at some point started thinking he wasn't getting his money's worth. Yeah, I wonder if he didn't. I wonder if he wasn't getting the benefit of a bargain that was unspoken there. And I, because it was more than just a uranium deal. There's some other stuff, too. I wonder if he put all that money against Hillary because he felt like he'd, you know, he'd gotten screwed. I wonder. Well, as this unfolds, it'll be interesting to follow it. Okay, don't go anywhere. We're back right after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. There's another war of words, not just Megyn Kelly, Bill O'Reilly, but guess who's going after whom? Kathy Griffin. Remember her? She's the comedian who severed Trump's head and then posted it up on Instagram, Twitter, and got a tremendous backlash and then had to do that terrible press conference with attorney Lisa Bloom. Do you remember all of this? Okay. Well, Bloom and Griffin are going at each other on Twitter, of all places. There was a tweet here from Kathy Griffin on October 22nd that said, "Dear Lisa, please stop calling me. If you'd like to refund me the tens of thousands I wasted on your services, maybe I'll talk to you." And this all has to do with that press conference. It went terribly. It went terrible. It just, nothing went. It was horrid. And Kathy's having, you know, thinks it's Lisa's fault. Well, Bloom posts kind of a long message that had to do with details about that press conference. And let me tell you why this is newsworthy. Because in my opinion, I don't think a lawyer can do this. You know, one of the biggest challenges. The lawyer can't reveal. It's privileged. It's not attorney-client privilege. There's a duty of confidentiality. And Bloom's tweeting out details of what's going on, what led up, what happened surrounding the press conference. What did she write in here? She goes, we prepared a statement. Everything was clear. And then Kathy Griffin decided to ad lib and go off the cuff. And she gives some additional details there about kind of what they discuss. And you can't do this. It's very risky. I'm going to tell you that. The state bar does come down on this. Now, the reason this caught my eye is because in any other business, like if you own a restaurant and somebody smears you on Yelp, it's pretty easy to, to go back and say, hey, you know what? You were here. Yeah, you were here last night. And by the way, thanks for that bad review. But, you know, you were rude to the waitress and you did this and you did that. And so there's, you know, and you can fight back. You've seen this, right? I don't know if you've been on Yelp or anything like that. But as a lawyer, you can't do this kind of stuff because you're limited in what you can reveal about what your client said to you. Or what transpired in the course of your dealings with that client. So, you can only really address things that the client has chosen to reveal, which is always one-sided. So, anyway, I'll tell you, I think this is all very, it's all very interesting. It's all very interesting. And I think this could end up blowing up. I think this could end up blowing up very much in Lisa's face. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, good stuff. Well, listen, when we are here tomorrow, tomorrow there's another Kings game, right? There's another Kings game tomorrow. So we're going to be on at 8 p.m. We're going to be on at 8 p.m. tomorrow night, and we got kind of a fun. Then we'll be here all of Wednesday, regular show on Wednesday, and then again only 1 hour on Thursday. It's going to be tough here with all these Kings games. We're going to be in and out. But as always, the podcast will be available on samnation.com. So if you're not subscribed, get it there. And we'll be back tomorrow night, 8 p.m. So we will. Talk to you then. All right. Don't go anywhere. Have a great time and back tomorrow at 8.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790. KABC.
And
KABC.
Los Angeles.
Orange County.
A Cumulus station.